Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Millions know their voices, but few know their names. In his compelling new film, 20 Feet from Stardom, award-winning director Morgan Neville shines a spotlight on the untold story of the backup singers behind some of the greatest musical legends of the 21st century. 20 Feet from Stardom is the opening night film at the Berkshire International Film Festival. It screens tonight at the Mahaway in Great Barrington, Massachusetts at 6 p.m. The film features interviews with Bruce Springsteen, Stevie Wonder, Mick Jagger, and Sting, to name just a few. One of the backup singers featured in the film is the incomparable Darlene Love. From her first number one recording, He's a Rebel, through her string of label hits with legendary producer Phil Spector, to the countless songs she sang backup on for artists like Sam Cooke, Elvis Presley, Dionne Warwick, Cher, and Aretha Franklin, Darlene Love has blazed a trail of success in the music industry and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2011. It is a great pleasure to welcome Darlene Love to the Roundtable.
Thank you.
How were you approached for this film?
Well, a couple of friends of mine who is in the music business, one is a director, is Dick Donner, who directed the Lethal Weapon film, and Lou Adler, who I worked with back in the day when he had Jan and Dean and the Mamas and the Papas. Anyway, they're all good friends of mine. They gave me a call, and they said this friend of theirs was going to call, and they were just giving me a head up so I would take the call and listen to what he had to say. And it was Mr. Friesen, Gil Friesen. And when he called, he said that he had went to see a show, and he was looking at these singers in the background. He said, I wonder what their story is. And that's how this begun. They told him, if you're going to do a story about background singers, you have to call Darlene Love. They opened the door for him, and he came in.
Do you think of yourself as a background singer?
Not today, I don't, but... Yes, I did back in those days. That was one of the greatest jobs I think I ever had, and plus I enjoy doing it.
What is special about being a background singer? What did you enjoy about doing it?
The people that I work with, number one. The other part is I met so many wonderful people, and during that time, the Blossoms, the group I was working with, was the only black background singers in the business. So we brought a whole lot of other black background singers into the business. Therefore, I feel that, you know, we opened the door for a lot of great singers. You know, it's just that they just needed a chance, you know, to sing. And all the people that we worked for over the years treated us like we were the stars because they were so happy, you know, to have us singing on their records. So they were just as happy to see us as we were to see them.
Are you pleased with the way the film has turned out? Are you satisfied with...
I was really surprised. I didn't know it was going to be this big. We started out as just a little documentary, you know, and I had no idea it was going to grow to this magnitude. You know, I'm very happy and pleased at the way it turned out. I think they got a real great and realistic look at us with all our trials and failures and all that we've tried to do over the last, especially me, probably the oldest one of the whole group. I've been in this business for over 50 years.
How has the business changed over the last 50 years?
Well, as far as background singers are concerned, it has changed dramatically because there is no more background singing really and truly like it was 50 years ago when I started, you know, with people wanting singers to do their background because now the entertainers come with their own singers. They come with their own band. So the people that I came up with now, they're actually out on the road working today, traveling with other entertainers rather than sitting at home going to recording sessions. So in that way, it has drastically changed. You definitely have to know somebody today to do background sessions.
You were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2011. What did that mean to you?
Wow. That meant that even though I was not trying to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and I didn't know eventually I would get in, it meant that all the body of work that I had done over the years and all the people that I had worked for and worked with thought that it was due me. If anybody should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it was people like Steve Van Zandt and Bruce Springsteen and a lot of DJs and, you know, were my advocates who actually, you know, went to bat for me to put me in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Matter of fact, we're hoping to, you know, to make a movie out of, you know, about my life. But the documentary is real close.
You mean a scripted movie where someone else would play you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who would you want to play you?
At this point, I keep telling everybody, if y'all don't hurry up, ain't nobody going to be too old to play me. you know, when we, you know, you do little things like, you know, we did a survey of people, if I did this movie, who would you want to see me do this movie? And the biggest thing was, I don't care who it is, but they can't sing. They have to lip sync to your voice. So it actually opened the door for us for a wider view of actors who could actually act, you know, but didn't necessarily have to sing. So, you know, the door is just kind of wide open. But we were trying to find somebody who could be, start off with me as a teenager and grow into, you know, into an adult. We're here. We see how this goes, and, you know, it might not be so hard to get that other one done.
Sure. You mentioned a few minutes ago being friends with the director of Lethal Weapon because you, of course, played Trish Murtaugh, Danny Glover's character's wife in the films. Did you you returned for the movies for more than one movie. Did you have a good time making those films?
Oh, yeah. I did all four. The hardest part about making movies is sitting around waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get your accolades until after the movie is out. And that's if it's a good movie. when you're working out on stage, you know, you go out there, you sing for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, and then you get to, then you put your clothes on and you go home. But movies, you sit around all day. Has a lot to do with the weather. If the weather is not acting right, you know, they might not be able to shoot that day, and things change. I remember when I was in L.A. doing Lethal Weapon 1, they told us we were on call, but go back to your hotel and keep your phone close to you. That went on for like 2 or 3 days.
And then,
although I was in California, so that wasn't bad.
And then, of course, you just mentioned waiting for the accolades. After a concert, you get the applause right away too.
Mm-hmm.
You've had occasion to appear on Broadway. Does acting in a musical scratch the same itch as doing your concerts, or is it a different beast?
Oh, yes. Yes, it does, but it just depends on the character that you're playing. I was playing Motormouth Maybelle.
In Hairspray.
And she has the greatest song in that play.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was all also like my life every night I went to do that play, because I did a television show called Shindig back in the 60s where they didn't want black people to be on television. And Hairspray was that same kind of thing, the white girl wanting to dance with the black kids and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just determined to dance with the black kids. Well, the same thing with the television show Shindig. You know, eventually black people were able to come and do the show. We did the show every week. We were regulars on the show. So going on to do Hairspray was, like, amazing. I found something to think about every night I'd go out there and sing.
You have performed Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home every year since 1986 on David Letterman's show, even following him from one network to the other. How did that tradition start?
We were doing a show at a club called The Bottom Line in New York, and people that owned The Bottom Line didn't realize that I had recorded so many of Ellie Greenwich's and Jeff Berry's songs.
Mm-hmm.
And once I did my show, they came up with this idea just to do a musical just of her songs. It just turned into a Broadway show. And Paul Schaefer at The Bottom Line was playing Phil Spector. And I got to know him really well. And he invited David Letterman down to see the show. And David came to see the show. And I closed the show with Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. And one night on the David Letterman show, Dave looks over at Paul and said, you know that song that girl sings in that play you're in, Paul? We need to get her on our show. Let her sing that song, because that's the greatest Christmas song I've ever heard. And since 1986, I've been singing that one song on his show.
But you like doing it?
Oh, yeah. It's almost like going home every year. Mm-hmm. And now, because I've done it for so many years, everybody expects me to do it. I mean, from the email that I get, Facebook, you know, just going down the street, if people recognize me, they say, you're doing David Shulgren this year, right? And I would say yes, and they say what David said. Well, in our house, it's not Christmas until we hear you sing that song. So it's become like a big thing with families. They tell me they get around television and they actually wait for me to sing that song. And then as far as they're concerned, that's when Christmas starts. Same people backstage, the stage people, makeup people, hair people, that started with David when he first started over on NBC. They all came with him over to CBS. So it is like coming home every year, like going home to see your family at Thanksgiving or Christmas.
And before I came in here to call you, I was watching online a bunch of different years, like going back as far as I could and checking them out, and your voice isn't fading at all. How do you keep your voice up? I mean, do you have to take care of it, or is it just staying strong?
Oh, yes, you do have to take care of it. And it's a gift for me. Mm-hmm. That I can still sing that song the way I sung it, you know, over 50 years ago. And I think it's the joy of doing it. And I do take care of my voice. I stopped smoking about 25 years ago. I'm not a drinker, you know, and when I'm working, I do what they call voice rest, where you don't talk, you don't sing, you don't whisper, you don't say anything all day long, you know, mm-hmm. especially when I was on Broadway. And you have to go on vocal rest and not talk very loud, and I have the loudest talk and the loudest laugh, and it's hard not to do that, but
sure.
When I'm working, I do bring it down. Those are like my little special things that I've done over the years to take care of my voice, and I pray a lot. Mm-hmm. Please, let me keep my voice.
We are just about out of time here, but I wanted to wrap up by asking you what you hope audiences take away from 20 Feet from Stardom.
I think Bruce said it in the first part of the movie when he says there's a long step from background where they are over to the front. And you have to have all that you have within you to do it. Because you have to have, you have to really, really want it. You can't sort of want it. You have to really want it. And I always say, don't let anybody steal your dream. It's your dream. It's not anybody else's dream. And if you pursue it, you can. That movie will tell you, you can make it. You can be prosperous if you do it. And that's what we're hoping everybody gets from it, to see our struggle and everything that we went through, and that we're still here and we're still doing it.
20 Feet from Stardom will screen at the Mehewi as part of the Berkshire International Film Festival. Darlene Love, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
You're more than welcome. Have a great one.
20 Feet from Stardom, Morgan Neville's documentary featuring our guest Darlene Love, is tonight's opening night film of the Berkshire International Film Festival, and she will be in attendance at the Mehewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. To learn more, visit BIFFMA.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
See the way he walks down the street.